Hello, you are listening to Wellness Unfiltered Pro. The information provided in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and is not a substitute for independent clinical judgment or personalized patient care. The content is not designed to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, nor is it intended to direct patient management decisions.
Welcome to Wellness Unfiltered Pro Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Arland Hill, Director of Clinical Education for Biotics Research. Before I introduce our topic and professional panel today, I'd like to acknowledge our sponsor, Biotics Research. Family-owned and operated for nearly 50 years, Biotics Research continues to revolutionize the nutritional supplement industry by utilizing the best of science and nature to create high-quality nutritional supplements. With a continued focus on innovation and the use of unique and clinically proven delivery systems, such as emulsified nutrients, vegetable culture tableting base, and plant matrix minerals, Biotics Research continues to be a pioneer in the professional nutritional supplement industry. When a conversation around minerals arises, it's not long before magnesium becomes a point of focus. While all essential minerals are valuable to human health, magnesium seems to hold a unique place in our mind. Maybe it's the allure of having access to numerous forms, each of with its own special application, or that magnesium is involved in over 600 enzymatic reactions, or that ATP, our energy currency, is only biologically active as magnesium ATP. Regardless, no clinician wants to be tasked with seeing patients without magnesium as a tool in their tool belt. In today's podcast, we will refresh core concepts of magnesium while also broadening the understanding of magnesium as a therapeutic nutrient. Our discussion will look at magnesium as both an independent nutrient as well as a central part of multi-nutrient formulations. It is our goal to provide you with an updated working knowledge of magnesium and how to decide which magnesium option is right for your patients. Before we begin, allow me to introduce my colleague joining me for this conversation, Daniel Benning. Daniel is an experienced practitioner and functional medicine consultant that has been with Biotics Research for almost 30 years covering Arizona and New Mexico. Let's begin our discussion today with a look at some key roles of magnesium and how patients become depleted. Magnesium has so many roles throughout the body, as I alluded to, over 600 enzymatic reactions. When you look at magnesium just from its very basic facts, it's an essential mineral. We know we have to have it. In fact, it's the second most abundant intracellular cation, right there along with calcium. It's involved in structural roles. For example, bone comes to mind. Of course, it also has functional roles with regards to muscle activity and being able to support muscle relaxation and contraction. It's an active transporter of calcium and potassium across the cell membrane. And it does this through being able to support enzymes such as sodium-potassium ATPase. Therefore, when you look at organs such as the heart, they become very dependent on that. The nerves and membrane excitability. So, for example, just to be able to optimize the normal function of the nervous system and to be able to depolarize an axon is dependent upon magnesium as well. It also serves as a calcium channel blocker. We hear calcium channel blockers as a class of medications, but from a more homeostatic mindset, there's this interface between calcium and magnesium where magnesium needs to be able to offset some of the activity of calcium at times or be able to sit in the receptor sites and block the activity of calcium. Either way, this balance can support things like blood pressure. It can support neurological activity and a calming mindset. And right along in that same thought process, we also see that magnesium is beneficial at binding to the GABA receptors. Many of you will recognize GABA as our primary neuroinhibitory neurotransmitter. If we think about more of a calming relaxation state, that's where GABA comes into play. Maybe you would verbalize that as a parasympathetic profile. But to ultimately optimize the activity of GABA at its receptor site requires magnesium. And maybe the most important role for magnesium, although it does have so many, but maybe the most important role here is in regards to energy production. And when I say energy production, I want us to think more broad scale with this. Energy production here could mean protein synthesis. It could mean glucose management. It could also mean oxidative phosphorylation. All of us at various times have likely seen graphics or flowcharts of glycolysis, Krebs cycle, and the electron transport chain. So the three stages of energy production that ultimately lead to ATP. And you will recognize that magnesium comes into play in various steps as a cofactor, or it's even responsible for phosphorylating some of the B vitamins that are integral in those three energy production steps as well. I'll give you one additional role here, which is that magnesium also serves as an antioxidant, anti-inflammatory. No doubt when we think about antioxidants and anti-inflammatories, most of us probably have a relatively long list that we can work through, many of which are probably botanicals and classical antioxidants. But it's interesting that magnesium also serves some of these same roles. And maybe even to underscore that point, it also supports the synthesis of coenzyme Q10. So meaning that your endogenous production of coenzyme Q10 is magnesium dependent, as well as your endogenous production of glutathione. And of course, CoQ10 and glutathione are going to be universally recognized as very significant antioxidants. Now, I did mention in the introduction the formation of magnesium ATP. And this is maybe one of the lesser talked about facets of magnesium that I feel like all of us as professionals and practitioners certainly want to appreciate. It's this magnesium ATP complex that when we're often having conversations around ATP, this is the biologically active ATP. This is in reality what we're talking about. And let me just, if you will, just bear with me a moment here, because I want to share with you what makes magnesium integral in this particular conversation. For example, why is it that calcium can't do what I'm getting ready to share with you? Or why not zinc? Or why not potassium? Some of the other essential minerals. And what is it about magnesium that's unique? And understand that ATP by itself it's relatively unstable. You've got these phosphate molecules, these phosphate groups, and they're high energy. Hence the reason we call this an energy molecule. But if we don't have a way to stabilize those, then you don't find that ATP can bind to the enzymes appropriately to actually allow that enzyme to carry out its physiological role. Enter magnesium. Magnesium balances the phosphate tail. So when you look at this grouping of phosphate, magnesium sits in there very uniquely. As all of you will appreciate from all of our days back in our chemistry classes, we look at the periodic table and you'll remember that magnesium has a +2 charge. It has a very high charge density. And because of that, it sits very uniquely within these phosphate groups to stabilize them. And when it does, it positions ATP in its correct orientation. So it literally, if you think about this, is that what it's doing is it's pulling, magnesium is literally pulling ATP into a specific shape, into a specific conformation. Its 3D structure, its 3D geometry, if you will, changes because of magnesium. And again, this is not possible with other minerals. It's like magnesium is the sweet spot. And that's the mineral that we want to lean on to do this. And of course, that's the mineral that is leaned on within your cells to accomplish this. It's used in the mitochondria logically. It's used for muscle contraction, all your various transport pumps in your cell membranes. 90% of the ATP in your cells is bound to magnesium. And that's an important point to acknowledge here and understand that it's this interaction between magnesium and these phosphate groups that has a very unique relationship there. And frankly, ATP is not fundamentally usable without it. It's just too reactive. Now, I shared that with you not to get lost in the science here or not to just talk a bunch of facts on this, but to bring you forward into all of our into our daily work environment, into the clinical space. And this is where, when you're starting to look for various forms of magnesium, this is where we're going to introduce to you magnesium glycerophosphate. Now, some of you will be familiar with magnesium glycerophosphate. My assumption is that, based on interactions that I have, that my colleague Daniel here has, that many of you won't have heard of magnesium glycerophosphate, and that's okay. Magnesium glycerophosphate is an organic form of magnesium. So what that means, just as to compare it to, say, like an ionic form of magnesium, an organic form of magnesium is going to be stable through the stomach and the small intestine. It's going to have a high absorption rate, and it has low laxation potential. So if you're thinking about using magnesium as to support motility of the bowels, this is not the form of magnesium that you want to be looking at for that. In fact, this is on the very opposite end of the spectrum. It literally, in studies, pretty well compares with placebo in regards to laxation potential, meaning that there's not going to be much laxation potential here. When you look at this particular form of magnesium in circulation, there's these organic phosphate groups that resemble the phosphate environment that's used by ATP. And that's the core concept behind this, because ultimately what that means is that it improves stability. Now, let's go one step further with this, because if we can get through the small intestine, if we can get through the stomach and keep the magnesium intact with what it's bound to, in this case, the glycerophosphate molecule, and then in the small intestine, we can get that assimilated. So we know that we can get a high rate of assimilation there. There's one final step that we don't often talk about here, which is that we have to unload that magnesium at the cell. And this is called dissociation. And we have to be able to easily dissociate at the cell to deliver magnesium efficiently. Now, let's go back to the forms. If magnesium at the cell is held within ATP, so remember, ATP, the magnesium is holding up in those phosphate groups in ATP. If we deliver magnesium to the cell as magnesium glycerophosphate, and that phosphate on the glycerophosphate is holding magnesium the same way that ATP does, we can easily dissociate that magnesium and offload it right into the cell, right into ATP production, and it is a biologically familiar complex. That speeds magnesium ATP production, which, remember, that's your biologically active form. And it's, in turn, right, if all of that wasn't impressive enough for this particular form, go one step further and acknowledge that these phosphate groups that are a part of glycerophosphate are also directly used for ATP production. So it is a really unique form, just in terms of structurally what it has the capacity to be able to do. Now, let's talk about for a moment here why patients end up in a depleted state. And let me just run you real quickly, if I can, through the physiology of magnesium. Just in general, most of us are going to be somewhere from our dietary intake, assuming a reasonably healthy diet, we're going to be at about 360 milligrams per day. And again, guys, remember I said assuming a reasonably healthy diet. So you know many people aren't even starting at that level, right? But we're about 360 milligrams per day. You are going to have a significant difference between your intracellular magnesium and your extracellular magnesium. And you layer into this that when you the loss of magnesium. So for example, you lose about 100 milligrams per day just through renal excretion. You can lose up to 260 milligrams per day just through fecal excretion. And so you can see right away, you could potentially, if you're just running at a baseline level, you could potentially end up into a magnesium deficiency just through your normal metabolic activity. So you need to be taking in adequate amounts of magnesium and really being thoughtful to the amount of magnesium that's coming in to make sure that we're not falling behind, if for no other reason than the ATP production that I mentioned earlier. But I think what I really want to emphasize here is that if you look at your patient population, you see patients that are tired, you see patients that are irritable, you see patients that have anxiety and nervousness. You know, if some of you are maybe chiropractors or other musculoskeletal specialists, and you're seeing patients with muscle weaknesses, you've got patients with GI spasms, muscle cramps, sleep disturbances. I'm naming things that are so prevalent in every single practice. Blood sugar problems, stress, alcohol. I mean, this is the American population, right? This is the world population now. And if you factor in how many of these individuals probably have magnesium deficiencies, probably most of them have magnesium deficiencies on some level. So.
Yeah, Dr. Hill, it's always an honor to be here with you, but it takes me back to this, you know, the visual you gave of all of this. And I mean, I'm having a little bit of flashbacks to college chemist, biochemistry, but just where you're talking about the stress component, and I'm looking at this wheel of that we've had in our presentations of low magnesium level causing anxiety, the anxiety depletes magnesium, which causes more anxiety. We're stuck in this wheel. And like you're mentioning, deficiencies. I was looking at a study comparing 1997 to 2005 information just in the United States alone that 57% of the population's considered magnesium deficient. And like I agree with you, I'm guessing that number is higher based on like we're talking about stress levels and, you know, what's going on in the world. So this is the way you set this stage is really an important component of getting the right amount of therapeutic dose, which I know you're going to get into a little bit based on, like you're talking about, just regular loss, poor American diet, and then we add the stress level to it. We have to talk about therapeutic dose.
Yeah, and there's a couple of ways, Daniel, that we can get to that therapeutic dose within the Viotics line. I want to introduce the ActiMag suite of products. And you'll see, I'm going to cover a few of these. Daniel's going to cover a few of these. But it's these ActiMag products where the theme that you'll see across all of these is that all of these are going to be using the magnesium glycerophosphate form for the reasons, all of the reasons that I alluded to earlier. And in fact, I'll just put a side note in here is that there's even more benefits. I'm just trying to be respectful of everyone's time here. But that's going to be the base form of magnesium that you'll see in these. And we'll tell you when there's exceptions to that. I want to begin off with what's probably the flagship of these, which is the ActiMag Plus. ActiMag Plus is a powder form. It's a very neutral flavor. In fact, I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of prelude to this, just in case you end up trying this, if you haven't from our conversation today, is that when you mix this up in water, it has a pink flavor to or a pink color to it. And many of you are going to think that, oh, that should taste like berry. And it doesn't taste like berry. It's very neutral. It doesn't have much of a flavor to it at all. So it's very easy, whether, you know, someone with taste aversions, whether you've got a kid that you're trying to get this into. I mean, there's it just makes for a very unique product, very mild flavoring at all, if any, on it. But within the magnesium glycerophosphate, with one scoop of this as a powder, you've got 400 milligrams of elemental magnesium. Now, I want to be clear in what I'm saying on this, because this is going to become even more relevant when Daniel and I get to the back end of this presentation. And also because this conversation around elemental minerals is not one that's typically talked about. In fact, when you're looking at the average label for a nutritional supplement and you see the mineral, what you are actually looking at is not the amount of the elemental mineral. And this doesn't matter if we're talking about magnesium, zinc, whatever mineral, pick your mineral here. What you are seeing is the weight of that mineral in that product as it is bound to whatever it's chelated to. So you're seeing the weight of the elemental mineral plus the chelate. In the case of ActiMag Plus, this 400 milligrams that you're seeing, that is the elemental magnesium amount. You are getting a true 400 milligrams of magnesium here. That is a very significant load of magnesium. And remember, the power behind this is not even that it's just this 400 milligrams, it's that it's in a form that the probability of it creating laxation is equivalent to placebo. So you you can maximize the utilization of 400 milligrams at a very therapeutic, in a very therapeutic way. Now, this is a formulation. This is not our isolated form of magnesium here. So what else is in this formulation? Well, we also include B vitamins in here, but specifically we've got B1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. And these are going to be found in the active forms. So meaning that they're going to be their co-carboxylated forms, their phosphorylated forms. That's what's included in here. So there's no additional lifting, so to say, that has to take place. And if you'll recall from something I said a bit earlier, many times when you need to activate a B vitamin, it requires magnesium to do that. So meaning that the magnesium that you're taking in with this product, you don't have to re-divert some of that magnesium for the activation of these B vitamins. That magnesium can go straight to work for the other roles that you're asking it to fill in that particular application. In addition, there's going to be some organic beet juice in here. That's where you get the pink coloration from this. But again, there's nothing taste averse at all here. You do have a little bit of bamboo in this as well. It's going to be a silica component there. And then taurine. Taurine, probably of all of these additional ingredients, has to be my favorite ancillary ingredient in this formulation, simply because whether you're talking about cardiovascular applications, whether you're talking about neurological function, whether you're talking about muscular activity, taurine serves a role in each and every one of those applications as well. So it just makes sense as a perfect adjunct to tie right in with the magnesium glycerol or phosphate. So that's your ActiMag Plus. Now, we also have a secondary product here, and this is known as ActiMag Pure. The only difference between ActiMag Plus and ActiMag Pure is that ActiMag Pure has no flavoring in it whatsoever. So it is literally just as plain Jane as you're going to be able to find. You can mix this in a smoothie. You can mix it in a protein drink. You could mix it up in food if you even had to. It's not going to have any taste to it. And then the next one that I'll speak to just for a moment here is, you know, some folks don't want powder. Some folks want a tablet. Some folks are traveling, so powders are not convenient for travel. And so for those individuals, we have just ActiMag. And ActiMag is going to be 3 tablets per serving. It's going to be half the dose of the powder. But again, this is for the application of, again, travel, if you just need to have a form of magnesium on the move, or if you, for some reason, you don't want a powder option, this is going to be the best one for you. So you've got ActiMag Plus, you've got ActiMag Pure, and then you've got just straight ActiMag. But there is one last ActiMag in the group that I'm going to turn this over to Daniel because it's our most recent addition.
Yeah, thank you, doctor. You know, I want to step back just one second because I want to really stress kind of the therapeutic effectiveness of these powders that I have seen in the field. And let's be clear, we're not trying to treat or diagnose a disease of any kind here. But there was a young man I encountered at an office who had, you know, nervous-induced tics. And I noticed this young man and I had a jar of the powder, and literally 2 days later, I get a video to my phone from this young boy and he goes, "Mr. Daniel, I don't know what to call you, but look at my tics. They've dramatically subsided." And that's the effectiveness when we're talking about that stress wheel, is the effectiveness of the magnesium, as Dr. Hill, you pointed out, all those amazing pathways. And, you know, keep in mind, too, as we're talking about all these, you know, this particularly, I feel, amazing form of magnesium, the magnesium glycerol phosphate. You and I have really talked about it a lot over the past couple of years. And I'm very passionate about it because of, like you said, the disassociation, the utilization of it all, and the extra, the glycerol phosphate benefits. And I want to remind people, too, it's, you know, we talked about all the components of loss from poor diet and stress. But I'm looking at a chart too here of different medications that will affect magnesium uptake. So let's be aware of those kind of components as a clinician, as a doctor out there. And so we expanded the magnesium story to ActiMag Neuro. So we took the Actimate line, which is the magnesium glycerol phosphate, and we continued that with the benefits of that into cognitive support. So what we're seeing in the world today, you know, kind of this looking at the timelines we've looked at, is that neurological and concentration problems have increased significantly since 2010. You know, especially I think we could all agree there's that young middle-aged adults is a big area, but also the senior population. And, you know, in a nutshell, I mean, we could go on for a long time on this topic, but what are the root causes, the contributing factors? There's a huge increase in neurotoxic substances exposure out there. I mean, as I've said before on these talks, I live in Phoenix and our air pollution is not the greatest. When I'm out on the road and I see that cloud, I think about these factors that all of our kids and all of our generation are inhaling. But also, you know, all of these digital overstimulation, sensory overload of watching these, well, I think we're all at some level guilty of it, of, you know, having our heads buried into our phones. And all that neurological effect there. But what we did with Actimate Neuro is we looked at the target patient population. You know, and this for the listeners listening in, think of this group of people that where this product will apply. You know, difficulty focusing, memory loss, forgetfulness, stress-induced insomnia. You know, even into the early stages of dementia. This product and the nutrient that I'm going to talk about is supported with literature. So in the Actimate Neuro, we have all the components of the Actimate that Dr. Hill talked about, but we added bacopamide. It's a standardized full-spectrum bacopamide extract. And what does bacopamide do? We see neuroprotection. We see serotonin preservation. We see dopamine preservation. So in that pathway, it's inhibiting the COMT enzyme, which is kind of a neuroexcitatory pathway. And so all in all, what it's doing is the bocamide is enhancing memory, focus, and concentration. I'll share one clinical study just so we have some validity to back this for all of you out there. In a study of 98 healthy Australian adults, aged 55 years and older, bocamide at 300 milligrams versus a placebo for 12 weeks. These are actually really shocking and very numbers that like caught my eye as a rep in the field, that the importance of this, the effectiveness of this, 24% in this study improved in immediate recall versus a negative 7 in the placebo group. 22% improvement in delayed recall versus a negative 13% for the placebo. 50% reduction in impact of memory disturbance. That's a big number. And then 7% improvement in learning. I mean, you can't argue that when you have that kind of information to back you. You know, Dr. Hill, you and I have been at this quite a few years, as you mentioned in the opening. And it's nice to see that now we're getting validity to what we're doing. You know, 30-some years ago, you know, our clinic that I was in, and we were kind of the quacks, you know, and it really feels good to have this validation in our industry. So the key clinical benefits, again, are improves memory and learning, fosters focus and attention, builds stress resilience. The Actimate Neuro is dosed on the label at 3 tablets per day. You're getting the magnesium glycerol phosphate, again, the elemental form of 200 milligrams. And then you're getting Bacopa at 450 milligrams. If you recall, the study I mentioned was only at 300 milligrams. So that's the new one to the line. I know we were pretty excited about it. And I know our customers already out there are very excited about seeing this, as we're seeing really the uptick in cognitive discussion and cognitive decline.
Daniel,
go ahead, please.
If you don't mind, I just want to add something here, because I feel like that this product to me sits very uniquely in our space. And I'm going to make a bold statement here and say that of all the magnesiums that are out right now, I think this one absolutely, especially with the combination of bocamide, as that form of a COPA is the best suited magnesium product in the marketplace to be able to support neurological health, to be able to support brain health long term. And that probably sounds like a very bold statement. And it should sound like a bold statement because I think we're asking the wrong question when it comes to magnesium and blood and brain activity. Because so many practitioners are asking, does it cross the blood-brain barrier? That is not the question to be asking. The question you should be asking is, how does it modulate the blood-brain barrier, and how does magnesium globally support the activity of the nervous system, right? And so let me just, if you don't mind, Daniel, I just want to tackle each one of those very quickly, because a low magnesium status increases permeability of the blood-brain barrier. If you allow permeability of the blood-brain barrier, everybody knows that as a byproduct of that, you're going to be activating the glial cells, those immune system cells for the brain. You're going to be activating those. Increased reactive oxygen species, increased flooding in of calcium, increased cytokine activity, increased prostaglandins, and there's your open door into neuroinflammation and neurodegeneration. And it wasn't because magnesium crossed the blood-brain barrier, it was because magnesium modulated the blood-brain barrier. In addition to that, when you look at how magnesium globally affects the brain, modulation of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. So if I'm looking at enhancing the neuroplasticity of the brain, magnesium is my trigger. It's what's really pushing this forward. If I'm looking at blocking NMDA receptor activity and I want to offset that excitatory activity, that's magnesium that's coming to the table with that. And remember, right along with that, you've also got the GABA receptor agonism here as well. So it's supporting GABA activity and calming down those stimulatory pathways. So rather than asking, does it cross the blood-brain barrier or not, ask the question, how does it protect the blood-brain barrier and modulate the global brain health as a whole? That is the question we should be asking. We have put way too much emphasis on animal studies, one, and on small underpowered studies. And because we're asking the wrong question, the wrong conclusions have been drawn from studies. And so, sorry if I've gotten on a little soapbox there, Daniel, but I see this so frequently. Yep. We have to change the way we think about this.
I'm so glad you went there. We talked about that before we started the recording, of the importance of that. I think we were getting fed different information, and this is where it's at. You know, just what you said, I was looking up a National Institutes of Health study that magnesium ion blocks the ion channel of the NMDA receptor. I mean, right there, you know. And I looked up in PubMed magnesium and anxiety, and 388 references. You know, we have the information, it's out there, and sometimes we get stuck in what we're fed. So I greatly appreciate that. I'm glad you made the bold statement, because it's you and I are on the same page with this.
Well, I'm going to go even one step further with that and say that it's the most important part of this is get the magnesium in. That is the most important part. Yes, the chelates are important, but at the end of the day, getting the magnesium in is what really makes the difference. That's what's going to move the needle. And the point that I will steer you to emphasize that is that if that is not the case, then how do we see benefits from the application of magnesium chloride or magnesium sulfate? These low bioavailability forms still move the meter. So it right. tells you that it is the magnesium that's doing this. It's not necessarily the chelate. The chelate is like the and asset, right? It's like I get the magnesium and the chelator. But right. for many of these things, it's the magnesium that we want to focus on. That's why that elemental amount in the magnesium, elemental amount of magnesium glycerophosphate in Actimag Plus, that's why it's such a critical element there.
Yeah, it's that what we talked about, that threshold volume, you know. And so I'm going to segue here to really one of Biotix's foundational magnesium. So we're going to change the story up a little bit here, because this MGzyme really simply is a form that many of my doctors have used over the years to help with laxation. And it's an aspartate, glycinate, gluconate form. And still, again, you were looking at volume and potential. Now, this form may loosen up people a little bit. Like I said, people have used it in my history with biotics research and many of my mentors. It was the one to go to at bedtime in our line and say, okay, you know, take a tablet at bedtime and look for bowel laxation the next morning. Okay, that's 100 milligrams of elemental magnesium, by the way, with those three different carriers. And we would dose it again to 200 milligrams the next night if you didn't have bowel laxation. And you would find that sweet spot for that patient, that client, and then maybe back off 100 milligrams and do that as a maintenance for some people. Now, I love magnesium used for that because it's very effective for many people. But also I want to get back to being a true clinician and working on the underlying cause of why there is constipation. But again, you know, MGzyme has been a foundational product for biotics. It is not a magnesium glycerol phosphate. As I said, it's an aspartate glycinate gluconate in a blend of 100 milligrams per capsule.
I'm glad you actually brought up which magnesium product would you use if someone does need to support laxation, because practitioners do look for that as an option as well. So MGzyme is really, of all the ones that we've talked about, going to be the best option here. So far, we've put so much emphasis on looking at repleting magnesium levels, correcting deficiencies, hitting some of the core applications around whether it's stress-related, anxiety, neurological conversations here. But I want to introduce another magnesium product here that it's a very novel form, not one that you're going to see a lot, and it's magnesium orotate. The product here is going to be magnesium orotate 500. It is a combination of, as the name implies, magnesium and orotic acid. So O-R-O-T-I-C, orotic acid. And I would stress for each one of you, even if you don't bring this product into your practice, if it ends up not being a product that you use, I would say take the time, just take a few minutes and go to the Biotics website, go to your product catalog and look at the label for this product, because the label for this product is an educational tool in and of itself. And you'll see when you look at this label that it has 62.5 milligrams of elemental magnesium. In fact, the area where you're probably most likely to look for the amount of magnesium here, you will see that this product says 62.5 milligrams. So many would look at that and say, well, that's a low amount of magnesium. That's your elemental amount of magnesium. Down below that on the label, you will see that this label says that this product is 500 milligrams of magnesium orotate. Now, if you take the 62.5 milligrams and you subtract it from the 500, you're left with 437.5 milligrams. That is the amount of orotic acid that you find in this product. And that's what the label is trying to tell you. It is giving you both the fully reacted amount as well as the elemental amount. I call this a full transparency label. Now, I also just use a term that we see tossed around and leaned on pretty heavily in the industry, which is fully reacted. Well, what does fully reacted mean? And I'll just tell you as a kind of a sweeping statement here that all of the magnesiums that we're discussing today are fully reacted forms of magnesium. That means that they're covalently bound. They're not ionic. So again, I know I'm pressing you on thinking back about our early chemistry days there, but it just simply means that they're a true chelate, and that's what you're looking for. So, you know, if you're seeing fully reacted, why is it, you know, is this product fully reacted? Yes, this product is fully reacted. All these magnesiums are fully reacted. Now, I want to go into the orotic acid here because this is the chelate part here, and it is bioactive. So when you're giving magnesium orotate or MG orotate 500, in part, you're giving it as much for the orotic acid as you are for the magnesium. What are some of the applications where this makes the most sense? And I want you to think as I go through these scenarios where you have a high demand for tissue repair. That's where this form of magnesium is going to shine. So for example, in a cardiac application, you know, if I'm looking at trying to drive up cardiac muscle energy production, if I'm trying to improve myocardial contractility, just improve the force contraction, within the cardiac tissue, if I'm trying to provide better tolerance to ischemia, improved exercise tolerance, just higher overall cardiac ATP levels, that's where magnesium orotate makes the most sense in a cardiovascular application. What about in the mitochondria? Well, orotates are very unique in that they're going to support mitochondrial protein synthesis. All of us understand that because of the environment that we live in, our DNA is under constant assault. So we need to be able to repair our DNA. This form of magnesium is very efficient at being able to do that. Right along with that, when you think about replication, RNA synthesis, it comes into this picture. And I will say maybe the thing that I have found in my time looking at research around magnesium orotate that has caught my attention the most, and I'm going to share a title, the title of a study with you here that really just points this out so well. It's that magnesium orotate and the microbiome gut-brain axis modulation, new approaches in psychological comorbidities of gastrointestinal functional disorders. This is a study that is specifically speaking to the application of magnesium orotate as a modulator for the microbiome gut-brain axis. And we've already laid out the mechanisms for you by which that's happening directly with the nervous system through that brain axis component. But what about in the microbiome in the gut? Well, what this is saying is that just like you would think about in a way feeding the microbiome with, for example, fiber sources or prebiotics, the presence of nutrients like magnesium are also going to be modulators that shift that environment towards a more commensal pattern. So magnesium orotate is also beneficial at the gut level as well. But this is a whole other way of thinking about the interface between magnesium and the gut than typically what we think about here.
Sorry for the little breath of air there. I was grabbing my sip of coffee to keep up with you, doctor. That was good stuff. I love that study. You know, I want to just, before we wrap up with a couple other sources, you know, again, I just want the listeners to be cognizant of the therapeutic threshold component. You know, again, looking at studies, man, there was so much information out there about the value of magnesium. We talked about early on the deficiencies. And I've looked at different, you know, 2,400 references on depression and magnesium, migraines, pain. You know, you've talked about all these today, but we have to be bold clinicians to push the threshold and say, get to a therapeutic value.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what moves the needle, right? I mean, you've got to be in a therapeutic zone, and for the reasons that we've stated throughout this conversation today, right? Daniel, I'm going to finish this up here with mentioning magnesium in two other products. I'm going to label these as secondary products, and all of you listeners will see why here in just a moment. The first product that I'm going to introduce you to is CAMG Zyme, so calcium magnesium Zyme here. This is a calcium citrate, magnesium citrate combination. It's 300 milligrams of calcium citrate, 60 milligrams of magnesium citrate, and it's just a balanced foundational pairing. If you're seeing very subtle neuromuscular signs, maybe you want to start giving some support towards the bone, but not just use strictly a calcium product. You need some early support in mood and stress, or you're just trying to tackle some deficiencies or even some hormonal dysfunction. This is the option to be able to accomplish that. There's also another product here very much in the same mindset, which is CAMG Plus, so calcium magnesium plus. Same amounts of calcium magnesium, same forms, so 300 calcium, 300 milligrams calcium, 60 milligrams of magnesium citrate. The addition here, and this is where the plus comes in, is that there's also some bovine parathyroid included in with this product as well, some glandular material. And keep in mind the parathyroid gland is responsible for the production of calcitonin and parathyroid hormone. So that's going to ultimately regulate calcium.
Yeah, that product there takes me back many years. And I'll share just a silver bullet application, if I could, is the CalMag Plus with the parathyroid tissue in it. Years ago, women would come into the clinic and roll their fingernails on the counter and go, look at how hard my fingernails have gotten from utilizing that product. And we actually created a lot of interest on a monthly bottle with the fingernails coming to the counter and clicking on the counter saying, look how thick these nails got.
A lot of times it's just those subtle observations that a patient has that really is a mental shift for them about what these nutrients are actually doing in their body.
So exactly. Exactly.
That's important. It's important not to ignore those things. You know, Daniel, it's always interesting to take a deep dive into some familiar nutrients such as magnesium. We once again are given the opportunity to observe the importance of this nutrient and also gain new appreciation for its roles and its applications. And as we close today, we would encourage each of you to explore the magnesium options available through Biotics Research, especially those that include the magnesium glycerophosphate. We're excited to be a leader in bringing this product into the U.S. professional nutrition industry. This excitement has only continued to grow over the years as feedback and practitioner satisfaction has confirmed that it was the right choice to make. If you're looking for any additional information on any of the products or resources mentioned in today's show, please reach out to your local representative or the home office. And in closing, I want to thank Daniel for his willingness to share his time and experience to help us all become more versed in the appropriate application of Biotics Research products. We all appreciate you being a part of today's podcast and hope you will join us again for another episode of the Wellness Unfiltered Pro podcast.
Thank you, Dr. Hill, for all your time. Appreciate it.